English cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church were John Henry Newman and Henry Manning, both of them originally members of the Church of England. And in a book about them, the writer David Newsom contrasts the life of the bookish Newman with the outdoor life of a churchman engaged with the world's business and the world's needs, in Henry Manning's case, with the education of the poor. Our gospel reading this morning confronts us with the choice of living indoor lives or outdoor lives. On that first Easter, the disciples are indoors, literally indoors, locked indoors for fear of the Jews, frightened of what might happen to them if they step outside. And then Jesus appears amongst them. It's interesting to note, I think, that the risen Christ can no more be kept out of a locked room than he can be kept in a sealed tomb. And Jesus turns the disciples out of their safe house. He sends them out of doors. Of course, he doesn't remove the dangers which the disciples fear are waiting for them outside. But he does equip them to meet those dangers. And the disciples are equipped for what is going to be a difficult and dangerous outside life with three things. And it's perhaps particularly interesting that on this day when we're going to receive a new member into the life of the church, that we remind ourselves of how Jesus equips his disciples. First of all, the disciples are equipped by the gift of peace. And peace is much more than the everyday traditional greeting that is still used by Hebrew and Arabic speakers today. It's peace not as the world gives. And the promise of peace is not the promise of a quiet life. Quite the opposite, in fact. It's the courage to bear what will prove to be anything but a quiet life. And secondly, the disciples are equipped by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is about a new creation. It's what might animate the dead, or more properly, the dying. And thirdly, the disciples are equipped by the authority entrusted to them to both forgive and to retain sins. And that authority is properly given to the entire Christian community, as stewards of the good news entrusted to us. The church is to embody and to express, to show, to display the divine forgiveness in our life together. In the first letter of Peter, we are told what the resurrection offers for the outdoor life of the believer. We are told that it offers us a living hope and an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. A living hope, an imperishable inheritance. But also, Peter says, all kinds of trials. As a consequence of the resurrection, says Peter, we shall be tested as intensely as metal is tested by fire. So this is no fluffy, sentimental, pie-in-the-sky Christian faith that Peter is talking about. This is not a faith for the faint-hearted. This is an earthy, hard-hitting faith which engages with the real world and with the problems and tragedies, the calamities of life in the raw. And it was because the disciples were driven out of doors by the risen Christ that they ended up being killed by various instruments of torture. If they had stayed indoors, they would have enjoyed a much safer life, and probably a much longer one. I wonder if you remember how they all died. Perhaps you shouldn't listen to this bit, Denzel. Simon Peter was crucified upside down. His brother Andrew was also crucified. James was beheaded. Matthew was speared to death. Bartholomew was beaten and then crucified. Philip was crucified. Thomas was speared to death. Simon the Zealot was crucified. James was stoned to death, as was Thaddeus. And of course, Judas Iscariot took his own life by hanging. Out of the 12 disciples, only one, the brother of James, John, lived to a ripe old age and died a natural death. And so what of us today? What of our lives? Do we live outdoor or indoor lives? Well, there is something of a paradox here, because many of us who apparently live outside lives dwell inwardly within our comfort zones. We live our more or less public lives, whether on international platforms or the national stage or in the tiny theatres of our own localities. But only rarely do we risk the costly exposure to which Jesus calls us. On the other hand, there are those who appear to live indoor lives, who spend their lives in universities or monasteries, who nevertheless hold in their hearts the afflictions of a broken world. And of course, the reality is that wherever we live, in a cave in the desert, or an Oxbridge college, or a noisy house on a busy street, or even in a village on the road to nowhere, the fundamental condition of the outdoor life is the acceptance of vulnerability. And according to the dictionary, to be vulnerable is to be A, susceptible to attack, B, susceptible to physical or emotional injury, and C, open to censure or criticism. I don't know if any of you watched the BBC Two series, The Rev, in which the actor Tom Hollander plays the part of the Reverend Adam Smallbone, who had the misfortune to leave a rural parish in Suffolk to become the vicar of St. Saviour in the Marshes. And that was in East Hackney in London. Well, in lots of ways, St. Saviour in the Marshes is clearly not Trinity Methodist in Woking. But I think that both Adam Smallbone and his church did display, above all else, the quality of vulnerability. And in so doing, they followed the risen Christ as he called them out of their safe houses. And it seems to me that that is what we are being called to today. We are being called out of our safe houses. We are being called out of our safe churches. And we are being called to live with Jesus, to live with our risen Lord, our outdoor life. In his name and for his sake. Amen.